Good morning. This is Steve Tomlinson. I'm one of the teaching pastors of Shelter Rock Church. It is great to see you this morning. And do you guys feel like winter arrived too early this week? We could have a competition. Who was in their car longer on Thursday? It took me 3 hours to get from Huntington to Manhasset. So it was like, I'm going to be in the running for how much that snow impacted us. Hey, but we're here today, and happily the snow is almost completely out of sight, so maybe we'll have a little respite for a little while. Hey, I want to give you an update on something that I shared with you guys in October. I mentioned at each of our campuses that we have been a little lower in our general fund than we desired, and I asked if people could step up and do your everyone do their part to help the church's finances. And I just got a report back this week that, it just for comparison purposes, for all three of our campuses, our entire church budget, last year, meaning 2017, the month of October, in 5 Sundays, took in $249,000. This year, with 4 Sundays, we took in $279,000. That is a 22% increase. And I just want to say thank you on behalf of everyone in the church and the leadership. We are so grateful that you were a part of what God is doing here. Hey, let's begin our time in prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you that we have the privilege now to study your word. We pray, Lord, that you will bless our time, use it to grow us into the men and women that you've called us to be. And we pray, Father, that as we continue to sit at the feet of Jesus for this year of ears to hear, this time of having every message from the word of the Gospels, that you would continue your teaching to us for exactly where we need it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I have a quiz for you today. Anyone who's taken my Bible class knows I love to give quizzes. So this is not too hard of a quiz, but let's see how we do, okay? So here's the challenge. Which animal ate the leaves of this tree, all right? So you got a tree, and you're trying to make an assessment. Which animal has been munching on the leaves of this tree? First choice, here we go. Possibly, okay. Second choice. Aw, isn't that cute? Have you guys had the journey of mice coming into your house this fall? I mean, it's that time of year. They don't like the weather outside either. And I caught a mouse in our house this week. But the question, of course, is this mouse the culprit for eating the leaves of this tree? How about the next one here? Snake. Tough call. Who would like to take a guess as to who's been munching on the leaves of this tree? Giraffe. What's the next picture? It's the giraffe, exactly. So not too hard. You guys are warmed up. Let's try it again now. Okay. Which animal has damaged this car? Okay. Here's choice number one. The king of the forest. The lion. Tough one. Okay. Next choice. Elephant. But there's another very viable candidate coming up. There it is. The bird. Which one damaged this car? Anyone want to take a guess here? The elephant. I think that's reasonable. There you go. Yes, it's a tough one. Now, here's one other question for you. I can go to that next slide here. Who fed this man? Who fed this man? Now, according to our text today, the answer that Jesus is about to give, it is one of his followers fed this man. And with that in mind, let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 25, the first book in the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 31. And if you're using one of our Bibles in the room, you'll find this on page 994 in any of the Bibles located around the room. So Jesus is teaching. If you had a red letter edition Bible, which is the words of Jesus in red, this whole section would be in red. So let's see what Jesus has to say to us this morning. When the Son of Man comes in all his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right, and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did to the one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire, prepare for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Now, this passage is intriguing on many, many levels. But I want to draw your attention to something that kind of leaps from the page. Do you get the impression from this passage that the sheep, the righteous, were trying to earn their way to heaven by doing good things for the poor, for the lonely, for the sick, for the prisoner? Now, the impression of the text is they were surprised. Lord, when did we feed you? Lord, when did we take care of anything? They were totally taken off guard. It was just what they did. And the other group, the goats, the unrighteous, they were equally surprised. Why is he saying that I didn't visit him? I didn't see you, Lord. And, you know, what was going on? You know what? This passage throws me back to a gospel singer back in the late 70s who wrote a song about this. Some of you won't even recognize the name if you've been in Christian circles long enough. The name is Keith Green. We sing one of his songs fairly regularly. There is a Redeemer, which is one of the songs that he wrote. But he wrote a song called The Sheep and the Goats. And I remember him playing it on the piano. I remember seeing him perform this in concert. And after he basically talks through this passage while playing on the piano, he stops. And with the silence in the room, with 3,000 people around, he said, the only difference between the sheep and the goats is what they did and did not do. And it was very sobering, very awakening to see, where do I fit in this picture? So let me ask you a question. How do Christians get saved? What do we believe? Is it through works of righteousness, or is it through the grace of Jesus Christ our Lord through the cross? Now, I'm wanting to hear you say, through the grace of the cross. But here is what this passage is all about. Caring for the poor, it's what we do. When we come to faith, it is part of the journey of being a Christian. So let's break down this passage. And the first thing this passage begins with is what I would call really good news. And what's the first statement of this passage? That Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Look at the passage, chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him. Jesus is coming back. Now, what is he drawing on? He's actually pulling something out of the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, from the book of Daniel. And in Daniel, there is this vision that Daniel gives us about the Son of Man and the Ancient of Days, actually equating Jesus with God, or the Son of Man with God. Daniel puts it this way, Daniel chapter 7. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He was given authority, glory, sovereign power. all the nations and peoples of every language worshiped him. So this little piece of information is important for us. Jesus is coming back. Do you look forward to it? Do you anticipate it? I was at a conversation not too long ago with some folks, and we were talking, do you look forward to Jesus coming back? And here's the responses I got. I do, but I want to get married first. I do, but I kind of would like to finish college. I do, and everyone had kind of a list of things that they wanted to do before Jesus returns. I get that. David Crowder once wrote a song lyric. He says, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. You know, and that's this tension that we live in that, yes, Jesus is coming back, but this is a statement of the faith. It is an Orthodox Christianity. Jesus is coming back. But the first time he came in graciousness and in mercy and died that we might have life. The second time he comes back with a purpose, and it is to judge. And so we read this passage, and he will separate the people from another as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. So, Jesus is coming back. Great. Awesome. But he's coming back as a judge, which causes me a little fear and trepidation. What does that mean for me? So when Jesus comes back, what is he looking to find? And what this passage shows us is this. Jesus' criteria of judgment is very simply, it is care for the poor. Jesus' criteria for judgment is care for the poor. Look at verse 40. Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. So with that in mind, I think we all want to have ourselves in good shape when the Lord returns. So what can we learn from this passage for how we respond to this? First principle is to answer these three questions. The first one is a why one. Why do we have to help the poor? Why do we have to help the poor? Because you will be judged for what you did or did not do to help the poor. We will be judged by what we did and did not do to help the poor. Now, this goes back to those questions I gave you. Which animal was eating the trees? Which animal crushed the car? Which person fed the homeless man? And the answer is people act in certain ways, and Christ followers, what we do is we care for the poor. It's not saving us. It's just something that expresses out of us as we live our lives. And I have enjoyed over the years watching myself change, watching my wife change. By the way, a great litmus test on how you're doing happens every April 15th. And what is that? Tax day! Just go to the charitable contribution section, and if that section is like completely empty, you're like, I haven't been giving many resources to the poor. That is a great opportunity to start and say, Lord, is this a part of my life? Am I caring for the poor? But as time has moved on, I have seen things move forward. Let me give you an example of my wife. I love my wife, and I love to see what God's doing in her life. So last spring, we took in some boxes into our house, and you know we emptied them. One was a shoebox, and I'm about to take it to recycling. And Michelle says, hold on, don't take that box out. I said, why? It's an empty box. We're going to save that for the Samaritan Purse boxes that we're going to have in the fall. I said, it's the spring. Do we have to store a box of air until you know the Samaritan's Purse drive in the fall? Yes, we do. Bring that box right back here. And so we brought that box back, and she used them for her Samaritan's Purse boxes. There we are in Las Vegas. We are visiting our daughter who lives there. So we needed some things for our trip. There's some food, and we go to Walmart over there. I'm looking at the shopping cart, and it's filled with magic markers and all this kind of stuff. And I said, Michelle, what is this stuff here? We're not going to need this on our vacation here. And she goes, oh, that's for the Samaritan's Purse boxes. I said, we're in Nevada. You know, they have stores in New York. We do not have to transport this across the country. And she said, we might as well just get it now. We're here in Walmart. Let's get it. I said, you don't even have room in your suitcase. And she said, but yours has room. Okay, so I, you know, get the joy of carrying this stuff back. But to me, the quintessential moment of Michelle's heart for caring for the poor and how it's developed. So last January, I went down to Florida to this event put on by World Vision for pastors. And they challenged us as pastors to do things to help the poor as a church. One of the things they said is find a champion or two at your church willing to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. And I thought, oh, that kind of sounds interesting. In my mind, I automatically thought of Pastor Jerry, because he's the buff pastor. You know, he can do anything. But when I come back to the church office and I mention I'm looking for a champion to climb Mount Kilimanjaro, two women in the office, one my wife and the other Donna Brady, said, we'll do it. I mean, was it not even 60 seconds went by and they wanted to climb a 19,000-foot mountain. Now, to climb this mountain, you have to prepare like you're working out for a marathon. So you're doing all the exercise that you have to do daily. So it was this past June, I said to Michelle, can I ask you a question? I said, why are you climbing Mount Kilimanjaro? Is it to lose weight? Is it to go on an adventure? Is it to help the poor? And she goes, yes. I said, which one? All three. And you know what I loved about that answer? Michelle's not a perfect person. Yeah, she wants to get in shape. Yeah, she's interested in going on an adventure. And she wants to help the poor. But as Christians, it's something that we do. It's in the mix. So as I'm preparing my message, Pastor Jerry sent me over the message that he prepared. And in his sermon, he told a story about one of our own Manhasset folks. And he's sitting right here. Brother Rich, thank you for being here. And I'm going to mess with my brother Rich. And if you're not sure who he is, put the picture on the screen here. Because this is that handsome guy in the red shirt in the middle there. That's Rich. So let me tell you a little bit about Rich's story. I'm thinking if Pastor Jerry's going to tell the Syosset folks about our guy, I better be telling our folks about our guy here. So Rich has been attending this church 20 years. I mean, a long time. And over those 20 years, you would have seen him from time to time singing in the choir. You would have seen him sitting with his family. You would have seen him serving in various capacities and going to a small group even. But about 3.5 years ago, he went through a very dark period in life. And he realized that there was something desperately missing in his life. And it was on a Tuesday night prayer meeting that the Lord got a hold of him and captured not just his mind, but his heart. And as a result, things began to change in Rich's life. One of them was a person that he used to pass regularly, a homeless person. That, you know how we can walk right through like Penn Station or right down, and we don't even see people. I mean, they just become fixtures, like wallpaper. But suddenly, Rich saw this person. And his name was Bill, I believe, and starts interacting. Now, the person struggled with mental illness, as you might expect with a homeless situation, but no longer was this person an anonymous person. It was now someone that he felt, I need to interact with. I need to see if I can do anything. And as time moved on, Rich started serving at our food pantry. In fact, if you go to the next picture, here is our food pantry, and that circle is where Rich is serving in our food pantry, which is open every Tuesday, feeding the poor. The beauty of Rich's story is he was associated with religion. He was active in church, but the poor was not on his radar. But when his heart was warmed to the presence of Jesus Christ, to say, I see a broken man who I can bring healing to, that I can bring forgiveness to. As Rich received that grace began to pour out in ways that previously had not naturally flowed out. So the why do we care for the poor? Jesus asks us to. Jesus gives us a criteria by which he's coming back to judge. Which brings us now to this very next question And that is, how do we define this? Who do we have to help? Who do we have to help? And the answer is this: everyone in need, but we must prioritize fellow Christians first. Everyone in need, but we prioritize fellow Christians first. This is the way Jesus puts it, verse 40. The least of these brothers and sisters of mine. Scholars are pretty consistent that they believe he's referring to the body of believers become the priority of who we are helping. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in the book of Galatians. He says in chapter 6, verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. One of the things that we love at Shelter Rock Church is that we have a vibrant and healthy benevolence fund. We are caring for people regularly. We give out thousands of dollars to folks in our congregation. But here's the reality. I get visits, people knock on the door and say, could you help me, you know, pay my rent or fill my car with gas, or, you know, they have a list. And I said, let me ask you a question. Do you attend church anymore? Oh, I'm a Christian. I said, that's wonderful. Which is your church? Well, I'm kind of between churches, you know. And I said, well, tell me, what was the last church you attended? I guess it was the early 2000s. And they always have some sad story as to why they're not part of any body of believers. And this is what I tell them. I said, you know what? I'm going to put gas in your car. I'm going to give you groceries. Here's a King Cullen gift card. I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to pay your rent for this month. But you know what? That's it. Unless you start coming or plug into some church somewhere. Because you know what we do as a church? We take care of the people who are in the body of faith. But if you're just going to flit from here to there, you know what? We don't know you. And the scripture tells us that our first priority is the people within our church community. So here's what we do. Our benevolence fund, about 90% of it goes to people within our body. About 10% of it goes to people outside that might be just walk-ins. We care for everyone, but we prioritize the family of God. Why? It's because that is the way Jesus has described it to do. And so we keep that in mind, which now brings us to the how. How can you and I do this in terms of a practical way of caring for the poor? Well, by giving money for basic needs, but also time and talent to be in relationship with the poor. In other words, it does come down to involving ourselves with money, but it also involves how we spend our time and what we do. Who are we befriending in this journey of life? So we are in the Thanksgiving season, and every year we always give a special amount of money away that usually is directly related to helping the poor. And this year we are very excited about our Thanksgiving offering. It is going to be helping what's called Project Nemensa. Yeah, try to pronounce that when you look at the letters. So let me tell you a little bit about this project. First of all, we have a young woman in our congregation. Her name is Devin Leondis. And when she was about 10 years old, she said to her mom and dad, you know, I think I'd like to build an orphanage in Africa. And so her mom and dad says, you know, that's wonderful. He said, but you know, there are orphans in the United States. You can build one here. To which she said, no, I think I'll build one in Africa. Like, okay. But what do you think about your kids when they're 10? You know, do you think they're actually going to follow through with this? You know, you just put it on the shelf. Sweet 16 comes along. Now, in the North Shore culture, there's a lot of very fancy Sweet 16 parties. And so her parents thought, so what do you want to do for your Sweet 16? And the mom and dad were prepared to spend a little money on their daughter's Sweet 16. And she said, could we fund a water well in Africa? And they're like, excuse me? Yeah, that's what I want to do. And so that's what she did. I think they raised enough not just for one water well, but for two water wells in Africa. Well, wonderful. And then she gets older, graduates high school, is now in college, and she's like, I'm ready to start that orphanage. And her parents are like, what? You know, this is really happening. And so they checked with a mission organization called Operation Blessing, and they said, my daughter is committed to starting an orphanage in Africa. What's the safest African country that we could recommend that has orphans? And they came up with Ghana. And so they began the process. And I had the privilege of visiting this orphanage after it opened like 2 or 3 years ago. And it was amazing. There, I think, are 39 orphans there right now. So she's not done. So now she says to her dad, you know what? I think the Lord's placing in my heart another orphanage, this time in Zambia. And this is where our Thanksgiving offering plays in. So what you see in this picture here is on the bottom left is the house that we as a church are funding to be built. And what's right above it is what it will look like when it's completed. Just to the side of that is what the floor plan looks like. And then on the other corner, you can see how it's actually going to be a circle of houses. In fact, if you can go to that architectural drawing next, this is what it's going to look like. It's going to be a circle of houses, a guest house where you and I can visit, a school, a soccer field, a clinic. All this, and here's the amazing thing, it's 80% funded already. And that's because, that's just amazing. So Steve Leondis, Devin's dad, comes and meets with me and says, would the church like to build one of those houses? I said, what's the house cost? He said, $35,000. It's obviously not being built in Manhasset. $35,000 is a very reasonable price for a house. And I said, you know what? That sounds perfect for our Thanksgiving offering. What does it take to pay this $35,000 house? 35 people spending $1,000. 70 people spending $500. You just keep doing the arithmetic wherever you can fit in. I'm excited that this is a tangible way that we as a church can help. And they asked us, do you want to name it? And so we asked the staff, and the staff came up with the name Rejoice. And it has an African name, actually a Zulu name, and it's going to be called the Rejoice House. And it's going to be dedicated a year and a half from today. And you can actually, we're going to have eventually mission trips where you can actually visit the kids. It's going to be 8 kids in our house and one house parent taking care of these kids. And I'm excited. This is one thing you and I can do to reflect the compassion of Jesus in loving the poor in our lives. But here's another thing that you can do. We already mentioned it. Rich is a part of it. And that is being a part of our food pantry ministry. Now, this picture was taken at the Christmas party at the food pantry this past Christmas. And here is what happens. This takes place in the Spinney Hill area, which is right off Community Drive. And there is an EOC building, which has a gymnasium. And they have graciously allowed us to have a food pantry, which is, you could almost call it a small supermarket that meets there. And that this picture here conveys that. People go with an actual shopping cart or basket, and they take these food products, the food products you bring into the foyer here, that we bring over there, and then there are other organizations like Island Serve that give us donations. This is open every Tuesday night for those who do not have resources to get food, and the people from this church and a few friends from other places help us make this ministry happen. Well, you know what? Maybe the Lord is saying to you, I'd like to do that. I could donate a Tuesday night once a month, every other week, every week. I can be a part of that. I can be a part of the Christmas celebration. We are just kicking into the big Christmas time that we're doing. Rich, it's kind of a big deal at the food pantry this time of year, isn't it? A lot of great things are happening there. And in fact, Rich is actually in this picture too. You can see him all the way to the left there in this picture. And is this for you? Well, you know what you can do? Write Pastor Jim. Jim@shelterrockchurch.com and say, I'm interested in helping out with the food pantry, and let him know. We'll see where we can plug you in to be a part of that. But there's another area that you can be engaged, and you have lots of startup time to think about it. How about going on a missions trip to take care of the poor? So Pastor Jerry is so excited already. The guy is unstoppable when it comes to mission trips. He already has a plan that they are going to go to the first orphanage that was built in Ghana with about 20 people. Do you want to see how you can help orphans, befriend them, start conversations with them, play soccer with them, all those kind of things. That's going to be taking place this summer, and they're taking about 20 people with him. We always keep the cost as low as possible, and so it's reasonable in price. And the other trip is Puerto Rico is still devastated from the hurricane, and we're not forgetting them as a people. We took about 60 this past summer, and this summer we're aiming to take 45 people to Puerto Rico. And so would you be interested in one of those trips? The Puerto Rican trip is a family trip. In other words, you can go with your teen kids or older, younger kids, and you can go to Ghana. I think that may be just an adult trip, but Pastor Jerry can take you to let you know all the details. And then Pastor Peter is going to be taking the youth on a mission trip. We don't have the location yet. And then Leslie is even taking the fifth and sixth graders on a mission trip. Last year they went to Austin to help the poor. Why not teach our kids at a young age? This is what Christians do. Which brings me now to the conclusion of this whole matter. Where are you in this spectrum? Are we saved because of good works? We're not. We're saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why there's a cross on the wall, always reminding me the high price that was paid for my salvation. But when we come to faith, out of gratitude for what we receive, we start noticing the things that Jesus notices. We start noticing the poor. We start noticing the prisoner. And if maybe there's something I haven't mentioned that God is drawing you, for example, in East Meadow, there is a prison in Nassau County. You know what this prison needs? Bible studies. There are lonely people there. You can actually work out to have a prison ministry. There are all kinds of things that God may be leading you towards. But this I know, we who follow Jesus, we're very conscious of the world around us, and we want to be actively engaged to see this world get better because of the fragrance of Jesus Christ going everywhere. And let me say one other word. If there's anyone in this room who, like our brother Rich, has been hanging around on the periphery for years, you come to church, but you never fully cross that line. Could today be that day where you say, Lord, I have been on the periphery, but I want to acknowledge you as my Savior and have my life reflect a life that follows you wherever you lead. Would you pray with me? Father, you challenge us today. These words come from your Son, Jesus, and they're challenging words. First comes the good news, Jesus is coming back. And Lord, when I look at how broken this world is, boy, do I look forward to that. But then, Father, I see that you're coming to judge. And Lord, that the criteria you mention is how are we caring for those around us? The scripture that Kayla read while we were in worship was from James, that true religion is caring for the orphan, the widow, the foreigner. Father, I pray that you would speak to us in our hearts for exactly what we need today. Some of us, Father, need to channel that love we have received from you to people in our lives, people in need. Others are feeling that call to the prison, to the food pantry, to Puerto Rico, to Ghana. Father, I don't know where you are drawing us, but this we know, that your people naturally pursue the things that are near and dear to your heart. Therefore, Father, I pray that when April 15 comes along next year, we can look at our tax return and say, praise God, he is reaching into areas I've never given before. Father, I pray that we'll be taking chances and building relationships with people that we never related to before. And that in the end, people will sense this man, this woman, this student is different because Jesus is alive in their life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.